Hello, this is Brian Michael Page. Welcome to the Christos Vincit Podcast, a division of the Christos Vincit Network. Podcast
number 6.
Christos Vincit, Christos Regnat, Christos Imperat.
Hello and welcome. Today is Wednesday, January 11th, 2006. Believe it or not, we have no feast on the calendar for today. It is simply the Wednesday of the first week of Ordinary Time. Today we will continue our journey through the germ. We'll have a brand new episode of The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And we'll have some organ music by Mr. Ludwig Corelli, who is a composer and performer from Buenos Aires, specializing in Baroque-style music.
Journey through the germ.
For today's journey through the germ, I want to expand a little first on the offertory. Just a few nomenclature issues here. And then go into the song liturgy of the Eucharist. First, let's go back to the offertory. We left off with that on our last podcast. Now, for some, mainly those on the Progressive Front and those brainwashed by the Progressive Front, the word offertory is likely to sound like a name change to them. It's a term that had been actually used for centuries for the piece of music that accompanies, yes, the offertory. And then in 1975, the U.S. edition of the General Instruction of the Roman Missal suddenly had abandoned the word offertory and replaced it with preparation of the gifts or presentation of the gifts. Many parishes quickly had scrambled to announce their preparation hymn instead of the offertory hymn. Well, all is new again, finally restored in the 2003 General Instruction some 28 years later. Quote, "The procession bringing the gifts is accompanied by the offertory chant." And there you go, folks. The offertory chant has returned to its rightful place, no more having to fear the dreaded preparation song. Even the most arrogant of curates I once worked with uses the term offertory song. Now we're going to take that left turn at Albuquerque. Oh, wrong turn, sorry. Let's take the right turn and head for the Eucharistic prayer. Let's start with paragraph 79A. Thanksgiving, expressed especially in the preface, in which the priest, in the name of the entire holy people, glorifies God the Father and gives thanks for the whole work of salvation, or for some special aspect of it that it corresponds to the day, festivity, or season. The preface actually begins with a dialogue between the priest and people that can be sung or said. It begins, "The Lord be with you," or the Latin, "Dominus vobiscum," said by the priest, with the people responding, "And also with you." Hopefully that'll return to "and with your spirit." That debate is still going on. Or the Latin, "et cum spiritu tuo." The priest then comes back and says, "Lift up your hearts," or "sursum corda," to which our response is, "We lift them up to the Lord," or "habemus ad dominum." "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." "Gratias agamus dominus Deo nostrum." "It is right to give him thanks and praise." "Dignum et justum est." Now, at my parish, Holy Ghost, we sing this dialogue on Sundays. Two of the Masses, the 4:30 on Saturday and the 10:30 on Sunday morning with the choir, we usually use the sacramentary chant. And then the monotone version at the 7:30 and 9 o'clock Masses. The priest will then say or chant the preface, which is the reason why it is right to give him thanks and praise. The preface texts are laid out, on the most part, according to season, though sometimes according to feast. Now, there are other categories, like the preface for the dead is used for the funeral mass, and then there are other certain masses where there are commons that are used. Now, all this, the preface dialogue, followed by the preface itself, leads to the hymn of praise sung by the angels and the archangels, the Sanctus, or the Holy.
Sanctus.
Here is paragraph 79b. Acclamation, in which the whole congregation, joining with the heavenly powers, sings the Sanctus. This acclamation, which is a part of the Eucharistic prayer itself, is sung or said by all the people with the priest. Now the Sanctus, like the Gloria in Excelsis, which we mentioned in one of our previous podcasts, really is a hymn more than an acclamation. It's a lot shorter than the Gloria in terms of text, but it's a hymn just the same. The normal introduction to this hymn at the end of the preface is, "Now we join with the angels and archangels in their unending hymn of praise," or sometimes you'll hear, "in their song of joy." Remember also that, like any other ordinary of the Mass, the text should not be altered in any way, so we need to be selective in which sung Mass setting we're using. Don't fall for the Hosanna on High theorem that you see in some of the Mass settings. Our Hosanna should never be at any lower level than in the highest. Now, after the Sanctus is sung, the priest goes into the first of two major bodies of the Eucharistic prayer. This was traditionally known as the Canon of the Mass. With the 1970 Order of Mass came three more Eucharistic prayer settings. One of them, marked Eucharistic Prayer 2, is actually older, reportedly, than the Canon, which is marked as Eucharistic Prayer 1. Now, over the years in the English language, three Eucharistic prayers were added for Masses with children, some involving some short acclamations by the children, and then two Eucharistic prayers were later added for Masses for Reconciliation. Often those two are used during Lent. So now you have nine Eucharistic prayers to choose from: the original four, the three with children, and two for reconciliation, thus eliminating any need to make up or ad lib anything at the altar.
Mortem tuam annuntiamus Domine.
Following the elevations of the body and the blood of Christ, we proclaim our mystery of faith in what's called the anamnesis. Paragraph 79e states thus: anamnesis, in which the Church, fulfilling the command that she received from Christ the Lord through the apostles, keeps the memorial of Christ, recalling especially his blessed passion, glorious resurrection, and ascension into heaven. This starts with the memorial acclamation, or the Greek term I just mentioned, anamnesis. Here we proclaim Mysterium Fidei, or the mystery of faith, and then we sing or say one of the following four acclamations: Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Now, that particular one, there's been talk and debate amongst the U.S. bishops of removing that particular acclamation from the Mass. Unfortunately, it's for the wrong reasoning. Their reasoning being not enough reference to the first person plural, that is, we, thus, and our. The removal has not happened yet, so you don't have to stop using it. Yet. Number two, dying you destroyed our death, rising you restored our life, Lord Jesus, come in glory. Number three, when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory. And finally, Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Savior of the world. There are also three in the Latin language, one of which we use at Mass at Holy Ghost. Now that one we use is Mortem tuam annunciamus Domine, et tuam resurrectionem confitemur, donec venias. Its translation is nearly, not quite, but nearly in line with the dying you destroyed our death acclamation. There are also Latin equivalents for the last two that I had mentioned. Now, despite publishers' opinions, there are two common song refrains, Keep in Mind by Lucian Dice, and We Remember by Marty Hagen. The refrains of those two songs often get confused for anamneses. They're not. They're hymns. They're fine as hymns. In fact, I often use Keep in Mind as a communion hymn. In fact, World Library Publications, the copyright holder for Keep in Mind, recently dropped that piece in their list of memorial acclamations. It's still in its rightful place in the hymn section of any of their worship materials. Now, it is from this point that the second half of the Eucharistic prayer, recalling the Lord's death and passion, and praying for the dead, and the strengthening of our faith. We now conclude with a doxology, through him, with him, and in him, or per ipsum cum ipso et in ipso, said or chanted by the priest, and only the priest, not the congregation. I grew up in a parish that actually did that. They had the whole congregation singing that particular doxology, and it went on for about a year before the pastor finally smartened up and stopped it. And this doxology ends with a rousing Amen sung by all.
Amen.
And now, paragraph 79H. Final doxology, by which the glorification of God is expressed and is confirmed and concluded by the people's acclamation, Amen. The people's acclamation is just that, Amen. It may be repeated multiple times. Three is most common. Most common song forms incorporated within English masses are of the threefold species. Officially, it's only a single Amen. There is no need to add other words to it, like Alleluia. Now, that was sung before the Gospel. Forever and ever, that's the priest part. Or, Heaven and Earth are filled with your glory. That's part of the Sanctus, which was sung at the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer, not the end. Only the Amen is necessary. And Amen, Dico Vobis, that is, Amen, I say to you, as we continue on with the communion rite in our next podcast. And now, time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Today's episode of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is brought to you by the book Why Catholics Can't Sing by Dr. Thomas Day, who is a music professor at Salve Regina University in Newport, Rhode Island. Here you can learn about the famous loudmouth cantor Mr. Caruso and what Here I Am, Lord really sounds like. Dr. Day is blunt and right to the point. Ask your library or bookstore about Why Catholics Can't Sing, The Culture of Catholicism, and the Triumph of Bad Taste. And don't forget to check out his sequel on church artwork, Where Have You Gone, Michelangelo? Today's episode of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is based on a chapter in Dr. Day's book, Why Catholics Can't Sing. Here we go. The Good. The setting of Here I Am, Lord, as found as the responsorial psalm setting for the second Sunday of Ordinary Time in Worship 3rd Edition. Antiphon music by Richard Prue, verse music by Père Joseph Gélinot. The Bad. Here I Am, Lord, by Dan Schutte of St. Louis Jesuits fame. The Ugly. The Brady Bunch theme, sung by your local choir, or the Schutte Here I Am, Lord, sung by the Brady Bunch kids. Pick one, they sound alike. And now for some music. Here is Ludwig Corelli. That was the Fugue in A Minor, the Reed Master, written and performed by Ludwig Corelli. Mr. Corelli's real name is Charles A. Gazzari, though Ludwig Corelli is the name he uses professionally. His music can be found at SoundClick, which is an internet MP3 community. I'd like to thank Mr. Corelli for his kind written permission to play his work in today's podcast. In SoundClick, his work is listed in the classical category under the name The Well-Tempered Gramophone. The site is found at www.soundclick.com. You can also find him at newbaroque.net. Much of his own work is in the Baroque style. Here's some links of interest for today. The American Guild of Organists, supporting and promoting the king of instruments and the people who play them. If you're an organist like I am, it would be to your benefit to join. Visit the AGO at www.agohq.org. Now, here's a site that can induce more scenes of the good, the bad, and the ugly than you can imagine. It's Why Yes, the Society for a Moratorium on the Music of Marty Hagen and David Haas. This is a society who wants to stop use of those banal ditties that many pass as liturgical music by those two and those like them. You can find them at www.mgilleland.com/music/moratorium.htm. Now, what my pastor, Father Jay Finelli, is to the East Coast, Father Jeffrey Keyes is to the West Coast. Father Keyes, a California priest of the Missionaries of the Precious Blood, is doing his part in restoring the sacred in his parish as well. Check out his blog, The New Gasparian, at gasparian.stblogs.org.
Hi, this is Father Jay Finelli from iPadre Catholic Podcast. iPadre. Interviews, stories, news, music, all things Catholic and then some. Drop by our site at iPadre.net. That's iPadre.net. God love you.
iPadre. That's right, folks. Don't forget to drop by and visit the iPadre at www.ipadre.net. And finally, don't forget to check out the Christus Vincit Network, www.christusvincit.net. Thank you very much for joining us today. We'll see you next time with further Journeying Through the Germ. I'm Brian Michael Page. Peace.
Christus Vincit, Christus Regnat, Christus imperat.